Hello and welcome back to the Sunday podcast. I'm Ollie Lum, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Matt Seddon. This week, no guest for you guys today, unfortunately, but hopefully you'll enjoy this just as much. We're doing a little review of the whole Olympics. Hopefully you'll have seen some of our Tokyo bonuses. We've been doing a podcast every day, and that's reviewing in depth each day and all the distance races on that day for the last, 10 days, Matt?
So. Yeah, man, it's been, we're day 9. Well, basically, day 10 tomorrow, but the marathons are going to overlap. It's absolutely flown by, hasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And hopefully you guys have really enjoyed those pods. Like, we've had some good feedback about them, so appreciate that as well. But today we just want to chat about the overall game as a whole. So if you want a bit more detail about some of the individual races, go back and listen to those if you haven't already. But this one, we're just going to give you an overview of the past 10 days or so. So it's going to be every event we'll kind of consider, except the men's marathon, which is about to go off in about an hour, based on what we're recording. But we'll have an individual bonus set with that tomorrow. We've got another special guest for that, so look out for that as well. So 2 for you on Sunday again. Matt, let's get started. Let's talk about the podcast predictions, because we also had our prediction contest.
Oh, yes. I got it all totted up. I spent all day going through the results, people's predictions. And as we suspected, we thought it was going to be very hard. We'll just shout out Sport Shoes for supplying £150 in vouchers. Thanks to them for supporting us on that. But the predictions, we had loads of people went there, but at the moment... So I've taught it up. Obviously, we've got the marathon kicking off in an hour. We've currently got 4 people in contention. Now, all these 4 people have Kipchoge to win the marathon. So basically, the results, in a way, are effectively in. Now, there is one person, and these people have 6 out of, there's been 11 finals, and they've guessed 6 correct, obviously. And the men's marathon will be the 12th final. So there's a couple people sitting on 5. But only one person has 5 correct and not Kipchoge in the marathon. So they could potentially get to 6 correct, obviously equal the other people. And it would come down to that tiebreaker, the women's 1500 meter time.
Wow. Are we announcing any? Or are we
what, people?
Leaving them swear. Yeah, who's in contention?
Well, I can announce a few people I know. I wouldn't want to announce, people I don't know. Just because I haven't got their full details, but look, Ricky Harvey, shout out to him. He is one. Ricky Harvey is up there with 6 correct. He got Athingmo. He guessed Jakob Ingebrigtsen. He guessed Faith Kipyegon. He guessed El Bakkali, and he guessed Hassan to do the double. Now, not many people actually had Hassan to do the double, surprisingly. So fair off for him for sort of sticking with Hassan. But I'll tell you what, the amount of, when we're talking of predictions, honestly, the amount of people, I've told it up, and we're over 85% of people had Amos to win the 800 meters.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty astounding. I thought, me and you at Clayton Murphy's, we were one of the 15% who didn't. And only 3 people had Emmanuel Carrere. Yeah, but other than that, everyone went Amos. And you know what? It's so funny looking at these predictions, man, when you get it all down. The amount of people who had the same. I mean, Athingmo, you could say she was a runaway favorite. Okay, so fair enough there. But, the amount of people who had Chariot, again, well over 60% of people had Chariot. Faith Kipyegon, I would say a runaway favorite.
And yeah, I think for me, yeah, Kipyegon and Chariot were probably...
Yeah.
The ones you 90, probably gravitate towards.
Over obviously. 90% of people had Kipyegon. Al Bakkali again, but no one guessed the women's steeplechase correct.
Yeah,
no one. One person guessed the men's 10K, Salomo Barrega.
I was going to say, is that the most, the best guess, if you like, the most kind of out there guess we've had? Just one person for the 10K. Was there any others that not many people got right?
Yeah, I would say. That is it, mate. The men's 10K, no one had Salomo Barrega bar 1. And then after that, I would probably say the men's 800, because only 3 people had a career, as I said. Mm. So the most out there guess was the men's 10K. And you kind of kick yourself when you see Barrega winning it, don't you? Because you're like, geez, the guy's been around for about 3-4 years now. Absolutely. Maybe even longer. Doing so well, always amongst it, always getting major medals. And you're like, God, why didn't I back him to win?
Yeah, it's weird. There is a few I'm kicking myself, but I wouldn't say that one, to be fair. I don't think I'd have called that if I'd have changed. I'm kicking myself over Jakob because, mate, I thought about it earlier. We did when we did the year prediction back at the start of the year, we said Jakob will win the 15.
It's just so weird, isn't it? Because I think this is where the Olympics to me is so fascinating. Like me and you were talking about it just a second ago, Lam, about the European circuit. And, you know, you see people win on the European circuit all the time or get amongst it in the European circuit. But then when you actually look to that Olympic final, so take the men's 1500 meter Olympic final, me and you were just thinking, well, how many times have those boys raced each other? It is so few, you know. I don't think Jakob's ever raced Cole Hocker, Jake Hayward, you know what I mean? And likewise, I don't. Jake Hayward's obviously, no one had raced Cole Hocker before because he was in college pretty much. You know, no one in that field. And then you think Ollie Hall, none of them have barely raced Ollie Hall because he's been based in America as well, you know. The only people,
particularly really with COVID, I think with COVID as well, you see it even more just because the travel's way more limited and restricted. That there was just so much less of it, really.
So you know, we always get a bit. Basically, my point is, we always get a bit carried away with sort of like European circuits and stuff, don't we? People winning races, but then when it's the Olympics, everyone comes together and the standard is a whole nother level more, you know. And you think, oh, they're gonna do amazing at the Olympics. And you're like, well, hold on. Subconsciously, we're forgetting, you know, 10, 15 guys who are world-class who just you haven't seen in these European races. I mean, Machao comes out of nowhere.
But it's that classic. It's that out of sight, out of mind. I think we did it when we did the prediction pod for British Champs. Mm-hmm. We almost, not disregarded Keely, but we kind of said, we were like, oh, we think she'll do well. We think she'll make the team, but we don't think she'll win it. And I think it was literally because she hadn't raced a lot just before the champs, so we were a bit like in our minds we had Alex Bell ran that good race and Gemma Riki's been running loads, so they're just in our minds. Whereas when you think about it, that I was kicking myself with British champs, like looking back I was like, dominated European indoors. And I'm just like,
race savvy. I mean, I did that in the men's steeple as well, because obviously I basically based all of mine pretty much off Monaco, which is a stupid thing to do, I know. But we'll live and learn.
Did you get any in the end?
Yeah, out of interest, I got 2 out of 12. There was someone who actually only managed 1 out of 11, sorry, so far. So
what did I get?
I'm not in last place. And Lumsky, for all the brains you claim you have, you're only sitting on 4 out of 11, mate. So you're pretty average. The majority are on 4.
I'll get 5, though. Lalisa De Cesa tonight.
Yeah, so to be fair, so Lalisa De Cesa and I would say Suguru Osaka. Is it Osaka or Osaku?
Osaka. Yeah.
They're the biggest out there, I guess. You know, quite a few people got Kipchoge. Quite a few, like a few have Katata, but only 2 have Asagu, and obviously you're the only one with Lalisa De Cesa, which is the 2019 champ.
We're rubbish at predictions, though, as you can tell clearly. But we will see. I just don't think Kipchoge's going to win it.
Bold statement, man. Right. Well, we better move on before this race starts. That's the predictions, pretty much. We'll keep you posted on the winner. Check your emails and stuff, because as soon as the marathon's over, probably Sunday, you're going to get an email from the Sunday podcast telling you you've won 150 sports shoes vouchers. So think about all the lovely stuff you're going to get with that. Probably a raincoat, since it's just peeing down 24/7 in the UK at the moment. But
a load of shoes. They got everything these days.
Yeah, they really have. But I mean, Lum, for you, mate, you touched upon Keely Hodgkinson there. You know, what's the best British performance you saw at this championships? Doesn't even have to be someone who got a medal. Someone who just really stepped up. Best British performance.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about it since we decided we were gonna have the chat, and like, man, it's so tough to call, because like you say, there's like best performances in terms of for individuals, and then but then I think you have to look at the medals as well. I am gonna say Keely for the best British performance, because I think despite her being I'm going to say she was like really world-class, and I thought she would make the final and things like that. I think she's still even gone above and beyond to run that 155 or 156, sorry.
Nah.
She got 155. It wasn't, it was Riki got 156. Like, that's just phenomenal. Wow. Like to get a silver and to run a time like that and to put herself up there alongside the likes of Kelly Holmes, like breaking that record. is just massive. And I think it's just so promising to see. I also want to shout out to Lizzie Bird, because I just think, for me, that was so impressive. I think I mentioned it when we reviewed the women's steeple, but just, I think just the string of races from British champs getting the win to Monaco, getting the British record, to the heat running, what, within a second or two of her British record, and then going and breaking the British record again. I think that's just a phenomenal, like, way of peaking for a champs and just showing up when it counts. So that would be a close second for me. Obviously, like, you got loads to talk about, but yeah, for me, I'll go for that. So Keely Olshan gets the win, Lizzie Bird, like, special mention. What about you, mate?
I mean, for me, bro, I got to go with Josh Kerr. Just today, man, 3:29.0. You know, the way he negotiated the rounds, I do agree, Keely was amazing. To be fair, it's so tough. It's either Keely or Kerr, but I'm just going to go with Kerr because I just think he, I don't really have a reason why I go with him.
Oh, mate, he's ridiculous.
You know what I mean? Both of them prepared. I mean, what I was prepared with Kerr about is, he even mentioned having a mindfulness coach or whatever in his post or his interview. But what I rated about Kerr so much, I just feel like he gets his season bang on. And if there's any people out there wanting to look how to prepare for a season and how to negotiate a season and compete at a major championships, you know, finishing at a major championships, basically, then follow Josh Kerr, man. You know, the guy plans his races. He doesn't do any races that he doesn't want to do. And every race has a purpose. I mean, you get that at the elite level, you know what I mean? But what I find fascinating with him, he's not lured into Diamond Leagues. You know what I mean? Because I think he knows at the back of his mind, obviously he bases himself in America. And I think he knows, look, if I travel over there, it's going to be, you know, probably a day of travel, jet lag, whatever, a day of travel back. You know, is it worth it for a race, which could be quick? I could probably just do a hard workout. We've seen his 800-meter workouts. He can actually do, like, pretty much on his own. And he can just, you know, do a race and he just front runs races and runs 3:31, you know, for his preparation. So I do really admire the way he sorts of plans his season. So just overall, because of that, you know, I'm going to go with Josh Kerr, and that 1500 final just was special to me. Probably the best race I've probably witnessed.
Yeah,
I think so.
Mate, for sure, it was phenomenal. Like, you, I think I mentioned it earlier when we chat with Jenny, but if you put that results list on a Diamond League Monaco, you wouldn't be surprised. Like, that was the results in terms of the times, and, like, to put it in perspective, like, Farah's 3:28 in Monaco and Josh Kerr's run 3:29 in 1500 meter Olympic final.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about Farah being one of the best ever, or definitely the greatest Brit of all time. Immense from Josh Kerr for sure. And I think he said that throughout the season, or I think I saw something with him earlier in the season that said, if I could do just one race in the year, I would, and that would be the Olympic final.
Yeah, I think he said he wasn't going to run a step further as well in a few interviews after the champs. He's probably not going to, you know what I mean? That's satisfying enough for him, you know? And like I was saying, he doesn't get lured into, like, Diamond Leagues and races with big paychecks and stuff like that. I mean, that might change. I mean, he could earn a lot of money on appearance fees and stuff, but he obviously treats the Olympics as the biggest goal, which it should be. And, you know, he treats these major championships as a pinnacle of what he's training for. So and in a way, you know, my old fashioned self, I admire that. You know, I do love watching the circuit, but there's nothing better than seeing, like, a race like you saw today at the Olympic Games. Yeah. But I mean, on that, mate, I mean, they're the Brits. I mean, I just want to mention about the Brits as well, like the GB success as a whole. You know, we may have, what was quite encouraging for me is before we've had, like, Farah picking up two golds, right? Or we're just discussing distance here, no other events, right? Or like Kelly Holmes doing the double and stuff like that. And obviously when you get, like, four golds or whatever, to me, what was great at this Olympics is it all came from different people across different events. You know what I mean? Because it's quite easy to obviously go to a major champs and say GB were successful in the distance when Farah picks up two golds. You know, but what's successful is we're seeing three girls in the women's eight. You know, arguably we could have got two medals in there. You know, Riki was so close to fourth. to third, sorry. You know, and then we got three guys in the men's 15. We have Lizzie Bird in the steeple final. We have, you know, Ailish, and, you know, we had guys in the 10K, you know, Mark Scott. We had, you know, Butchard in the five. I just thought as a distance, we were really strong. And, you know, even the people who missed out, like I'm sure Butchard wanted a little bit more of himself. I think he had a great run, but he would have wanted more of himself. You know,
Ailish. And the same, probably, yeah, with Mark Scott, you know, I'm sure he'd have loved to make the final.
Yeah, the steeple boys, you know, Zach and Norman. But I think the fact that they're there, and they're there in numbers as well. This isn't just one sole person in an event who's going flying the flag for GB and the steeple or the 5K or the 10K, whatever it may be. We've got depth now, you know, and looking forward to Paris, you know, you look at 3 years, you look worlds, Paris, you know, and then you look at the people behind these people at the Olympic Games and you think, Jesus, our 1500 meter depth, we've got four or five guys who could also be in Paris in 3 years' time.
Do you know whose depth I want to touch upon, mate? Scotland at the Commonwealth Games next year. Because let's look at that British team, right?
Yeah.
Butchart.
Yeah.
Dormuir. Gemma Reekie. Mm-hmm. Ailish. Mm-hmm. Whiteman.
But, mate, you know, we said this so many times. You know, what frustrates me is Scotland seem to have a proper backing. They seem to have, you know, funding. It's same with Welsh Athletics. Welsh Athletics have funding for Wales, you know. No such thing exists with England. You know, England athletes have to rely on GB funding. Yeah. You know? For sure. You know, England athletes, you know, England athletes, yes, they put on a few races and stuff, but you know, like you represent England at some international match or something like that, you know what I mean? But you know, Welsh Athletics support their athletes a lot more, and I think if England Athletics did that for, you know, up and comers as well, it would be
a different, I think, that's it, mate. Like, and I think for us, when we moved to Cardiff for uni, it was so eye-opening seeing how many athletes are like in and around that Welsh Athletics circle, if you like, and just considered for things. And it's so good.
About Hayward. So many... Yeah, I think it's just, let's talk about Jake Hayward, because think about his support network in Wales, right? Obviously, he was very good, you know, 16, 17 anyway, going to World Juniors, and he was getting help from British Athletics, you know, Futures program or whatever it was. But I think when he was that bit younger, he was, you know, he was on the one to watch list with Wales, and, you know, he was getting a lot of support and help.
Yeah.
Whereas you compare that to a 15, 16-year-old English guy, nothing. You know what I mean? So I do think when it comes to, like, the Commonwealth, and we all split up into Scotland, Wales and England, I do think Scotland and Wales, they have got good programs in place, and they are looking to develop athletes on the fringes. And also, the Commonwealth Games is a big thing for them, as I feel like with England, they don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, and I think it's just turn up, maybe it's just English people as well. Like, I feel like English people don't like representing England as much as they like representing GB, whereas I think the Scottish and Welsh athletes I've spoken to before, I think they prefer it, like, in a way.
Yeah, but me, I think that's false. Like, you know, I bet if you spoke to athletes and they were getting, you know, support from England Athletics, and there was more opportunities to represent England Athletics or, you know, at bigger comps, I think they would feel passionate, you know, and they would want to do
it. Yeah, no, I think they should, like, for sure. And I'm not speaking for everyone.
But, like, take this, you know, I think, you know, Jake Wyman is a huge supporter of Scottish Athletics, you know, and chances are he'll probably do the Commonwealth Games. He'll probably support the Commonwealth Games, you know, and represent Scotland. If you had the equivalent version in England, chances are they wouldn't feel obliged to support England at the Commonwealth Games and do it. If you were someone,
you've got Kerr as well. Kerr's Scottish as well. Wow.
Oh, well, I mean,
it's just ridiculous.
You know, they're endless talent out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Endless talent, mate.
But anyway, yeah, it's exciting few years ahead for all the home nations, and then GB as well, like going forward to the next Olympics. But no, it'd be brilliant. Let's move on to, let's talk about our best overall performance then. So, could still be a Brit, mate, but I guess you set your stall on that one. So, like, who for you, best overall performance of the Olympics?
Yeah. Don't want to forget an event here, man.
I know. I was thinking that. It's so hard, isn't it?
You know what I mean? I'm kind of being biased. It's 1500, because obviously it was today. You know, and I do think Jakob's performance was outstanding. You know, it really was outstanding. But also, mate, again, with that women's 800, I thought Athing Mu, like, living up to the, basically delivering to the hype.
Yeah.
You know, I really did think that was, yeah, that was incredible. Be one of those two for me, probably, mate. Freaks, I love the way Courtney Freaks ran, to be fair. You know, I love the way she got after it, took the race to the Kenyans, you know, gap the field. That was a very exciting race.
Yeah. I was going to say, we were going to discuss the most exciting race, and I was going to say Freaks in the steeple for that.
Yeah, that was exciting. But as probably, I think the performer of the games for me would be Ingebrigtsen, man. It just would be that.
For me, I'd agree as well. I think Ingebrigtsen, I think he was really sensible to just focus on the 15 because he could have done the 5 as well. And it's clearly paid off for him. And I think, getting the Olympic record, almost running away from Chariot in the home straight, pretty much running away from Chariot. Like, that is, and Chariot's been so dominant. I think they said Chariot's beat him 10 times.
I think Jakob's going to get the world record one day. I really do.
If you had to pick anyone who's going to get near Elguruj's record, you'd say Jakob, in terms of like thinking he's still got more.
Seat. I also think this was a Jakob who had a little bit of an interrupted preparation as well. Mm. You know, he was clearly ill at some point in the season.
Yeah. But maybe that helped, mate, because he wasn't, if he'd been really good like all year, obviously he was phenomenal like in some of his races, but I think if he'd been flying, like, he would have been red hot favorite.
I do think with Jakob, he is someone who relishes that, man.
Mm.
And do you remember after Euro Indoors, he said, you know, he wasn't concerned about leading out races and running them the way he did. And he said, all I've got to do is just get faster, you know, so I can do these races even on the bigger stage, you know. And he gave us a little teaser of, you know, sort of taking the race by the scruff of the neck, dictating it today, even though Chariot came round him. You know, 3:28 Olympic record. And I think, do you know what, that illness may have just helped him, because I do think he would have done the 5 and the 15 and tried to double. And when you think about it, that 5K was last night.
And brutal as well.
And brutal and sub 13 minutes. And I do think that was Cheptegei, you know, not far off his best in that race. So I think it would have been a stretch too far for Jakob, but I think he would have attempted it had he been 100% fit.
Mm.
I really do. So I'm kind of glad he didn't, and he stuck to the 15, because, boy, was it impressive. Overall performance, we both agree on Ingebrigtsen. Sweet, most exciting race. I'd probably say that steeple was the most, like, at the time, I was like, oh my God. The fill up with the 8 and the 15s, I was almost just stunned. You know what I mean? I was just like, whoa, what am I watching?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to, I don't know, for me, I've always found the longer races more exciting, just because
I have
mixed emotions that go up and down throughout a race, where there's not time to have that watching the shorter events. So for me, I say the women's steeple. I think the men's 5 was also really, really good.
And then, man, we were just going to discuss also, you know, if you had to pick one person who wasn't on the podium to win a medal in Paris. Let's just say to win a gold in Paris, to make it easy. You know, who would it be? Who did you see this Olympics and you thought, this person looks promising?
To win a medal or to win?
Win a medal or win.
I'm going to go Gemma Reekie, bro. I think...
Do you see that thing about her number being 2024 as well? Superstitious.
Yeah, I thought she was gonna. I thought she might win the Olympics this year. I'm not gonna lie. I've said that a few times on the pod. Like, I think it would have been a tough ask, but I thought she had the ability to. But she ran phenomenally through the rounds. She raced for the win in the final. She was narrowly missed out on a medal, got 4th. And I think she's the kind of athlete who is so tenacious, and she's going to come back, and she's going to want it even more. And looking at Laura Muir, it was so satisfying to see her finally get that medal, because she's like taken on some of these races in the past few years. She deserves an Olympic medal. And obviously she's in that, Reekie's in that group as well. And I think she'll look on that. She'll look at Muir's setbacks. How can 4th be a setback, really? But I think for athletes like that, it is in their caliber. So she'll be thinking, wow, like Laura went through that as well. She raced to win in Rio and missed out because she faded. And I think it would be more fuel for the fire. And I think she'll 100% get a medal at future games and maybe even win. I'd love to see it. What about you?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot more of this Abel Kipsang guy in the men's 15. He was fourth. I think we're going to see a lot more of this dude. So I'll probably back him to 100% win a medal in Paris, I think. But, you know, it's weird. He's obviously from Kenya. You know, things don't always work out that way. But I think I'll be impressed with the way he was running. And then my other one would just be Jacob Kiblimo, because obviously he's
a huge talent. Yeah, I was going to say,
he was, you know, fifth and sixth or wherever he came in the 5 and the 10. So I think he is someone who we're going to see. Oh, he actually already medaled in the 10, so we can't say about him, sorry. But in the 5, I think, we'll probably see him dominate a bit. I'd probably say, mate, you know, when you mentioned Muir then, I was like, God, that was that could have been the best British performance, because I do just think 155 and 354 for the new British records is just for women. For women, you know, I remember growing up and like 4 minutes was a huge deal. It was honestly,
and the same with 2 minutes, like,
right, the same with 2 minutes.
They've obliterated 2 minutes,
and now they're knocking out 155. So, but we keep
they're literally like changing, they're changing the goalposts for British distance running.
Yeah,
man. Same with Kerr as well. Like, think about when, what was it, 2012, we got guys running like 335.
Yep,
I want to say, and no disrespect to them, but that, like, we're now talking. The spread of the team this year, obviously Hayward was of the slowest PB, and he ran 3:32 in his semi.
Yeah.
And that's our slowest guy we're sending to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. We're getting incredible depth.
Absolute madness.
Incredible depth. Mate, you know, before we finish up, we'll probably do some predictions for the marathon as well. But, you know, the Olympic Games as a whole, from an athletic standpoint, you know, how have you... You know, I've said before, I think it was incredible. The races have been absolutely outstanding. I think it's been a huge shame that the coverage has been hit and miss. I think Lizzie Bird was, you know, tweeting that her grandma couldn't watch it because the BBC decided to go to some horses doing some silly jumping. You know what I mean? So I do think the coverage has been such a shame. You know, we have had Eurosport, obviously, but not everyone's got Eurosport and paying for it and switched on. I also think a lot more could have been done with sort of timetables and letting people know when events are on. Like, goodness me, BBC would be publishing stuff on the TV, and they wouldn't even, it was the same night of the men's 5K, but they wouldn't even mention the men's 5K. They just mentioned Laura Muir in the 1500, you know, with Andy Bouchard in the 5K. You know, and it's been like that all the way along. So I just feel like as a sport, athletics, you know, I don't think there's anything they can do. Obviously, the BBC are the ones who are showing this, but, you know, as a sport, athletics has been so good, and I feel like the general public probably wouldn't have seen much of it after.
Yeah, that's what upsets me, because, like, I'd compare it a bit, like, similar to Rio, in that everyone was a bit like, oh, it's a bit dodgy in terms of, like, having crowd and things, but Rio, the races were immense as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this games, that they really have been like of the highest quality. Like, every day when we've done our review pod, we've been gagging to just get started and talk about it. Because obviously me and you normally, if you don't know, guys, if you can't tell, we always talk about all the races going down. We've been trying to give you guys kind of our first reactions, talking to each other about it, so we don't spoil it too much. But yeah, we've been so excited by it. I've loved it, really. But yeah, I think with the whole kind of whole games thing, I think it's really hard to talk about, just obviously because of COVID and things. Some people thought this Olympics wouldn't even happen like 2 weeks ago. People were still murmuring about how they're going to cancel it. I never thought they would, but let's just shout out Japan. I'm not going to lie, because, like, even though I'm sure they could have done certain things better, like, actually getting it on and getting it all done, I think fair play to them.
I completely disagree. I think from a Japanese standpoint, mate, they decided the Olympics is going to go ahead last year. They postponed it. Mate, get your things together. Sort it out. You know what I mean? The Olympics, mate, that day was in the diary for over a year now.
Mate.
Sort it out. You know, the fact there was no crowds, you know, all these rules and stuff. It's a joke. England, we had 90,000 packed into Wembley. You know what I mean? Like, Japan.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, mate, but I think they would have
country with all the tech.
Really different with, getting all the sports together and having so many people staying.
That's not me. Nah. I just think they could have done a lot more in my eyes to actually sell it more. In my opinion, and when we talk about like a legacy as well, obviously London 2012 was a huge legacy, and that's the legacy we're seeing now. We're seeing people inspired by London 2012. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure, but I think for the Japanese people, it'll be similar, mate. Like we're talking about what we see. I think that our coverage in the UK has been shocking, and I think that's what we've seen.
But that's what I'm saying. Lens.
What I'm saying is, I think Japan are put on a great, great champs, great racing. Plenty of Japanese athletes in every distance event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so many for young Japanese people to look up to. So I think that's been excellent. And I'm not going to lie, like, you say they could have just done a lot of things, but I think they have so many. There's so many rules and things they've got to think about.
I just know, mate. If it was in England, we would have put on a way better show. But yeah, and we would have made sure that there were crowds and we're following protocol and whatnot. We wouldn't have had half the problems like the Japanese had.
I think they just don't want to be as irresponsible as some of the things that go on in this country, to be honest, mate.
But
we can agree to disagree on that. But yeah, I think the race has been phenomenal. So if you're listening and you have missed some of the races, I'd definitely recommend going and watching some of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just hope, like I was saying, you know, because of the coverage, I hope there's a lot of kids out there who actually got a chance to watch these races and were inspired by these races. You know, Josh Kerr and Keely Hodgkinson, they should be household names. You know, they really should. Their achievements, and Laura Muir, sorry. You know, their achievements are outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding achievements. You know, Lizzie Bird breaking national records. But, you know, will they be?
I think I just think it will be. Yeah, they might be household names in athletics families, but then.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Whereas when you talk about the records they're breaking, you talk about like Kelly Holmes, for example. She's a household name anywhere.
Yeah.
And the same would have been the case for Co over there, people like that.
Yeah.
Whereas I just don't think Keely Hodgkinson, unfortunately, will have that effect, and that's because of how it's showcased in this country.
Yeah, the coverage. And I think over time, actually, in all fairness, I think over time it will grow.
And we can only hope it does.
Her achievements will really grow over time, and so they should. They're incredible achievements, you know. But, you know, when we talk about the people missing out, like Jim Ariki and stuff, you know, I bet if you asked 9 out of 10 kids in school right now, who's Jim Ariki? Nope. You know what I mean? So I do feel a lot more could be done, but that's a conversation for a different day. We're pretty much there, man. We've got just 15 minutes to go till the men's marathon starts. And just your final prediction, you had DeCisa, you're going to go with DeCisa?
If I could change, I'd go Suguru.
I don't know why. I mean, I know.
Hey, I watched a documentary on him the other day.
No, I know, mate. Like, he's Japanese and stuff, but I still think.
I think he'll handle the conditions really well. And it was the way he was talking about how he, as soon as Tokyo was announced, he set his sights on that race being like the race of his career. And it made it sound like he's going to retire afterwards. I think he'll get a medal for sure. Like, I think it was a bit like when I predicted Centro in the 15. I think it's part of me. I like predicting ones that I want to happen sometimes. I think Lalisa is a good shout. I think my original decision was a good shout. I don't know, Suguru, like, it was just it was fascinating watching it. So yeah, if you're Suguru has a YouTube channel, so if anyone's interested in someone that watched that, it's in Japanese though, but it's still so interesting. There's little like snippets in English, but I think just watching him run and seeing the training, they talked to Pete Julian a bit, his coach. He's talking about how he does 150 mile weeks.
Yeah, that's mental, mate. That really is mental on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob Kipchoge, I mean, a disaster would have to happen for Kipchoge to lose.
You think? I don't think it is, really. Like,
well, it will be a slow race. I think obviously with this one, with the elites, like we saw, who was it? Ruth Chepengage drop out, right? She drop out or just fall back yesterday? Pretty sure she dropped out. The third Kenyan. It would just be about fueling and stuff for Kipchoge, but he's someone who obviously the level he is, he's got loads of like sponsors helping him out. Yeah,
I think Kipchoge will be fine with that, but I think it's some of the other Ethiopian.
Yeah, the other Ethiopian Kenyans that maybe aren't as experienced. Yeah,
you do worry a bit about that. But that's where someone like Segura, I think he should be so prepared for that. I think he's extremely prepared for that.
Bar like a fueling issue. But one thing I would say is we haven't really seen it. He's talking about poor Olympics. The Ethiopians had had a pretty stinky Olympics by their standards. Pretty bad. But I was, you know, on that note, I was going to say the Ethiopians always grit it out, but they're always up there in these sort of world, you know, championship marathons. So that's why I went with Petartha myself. Obviously, he won in London as well. Dethroned.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fascinating. Hopefully, caps off for Grey Games, but I just can't believe this. It's done, mate. What are we going to do for our days?
Yeah, man, if you're watching live, be patient with the marathon. Chances are it'll be a slow start. My dream would see like an electric start and dudes just sprawled out all over the road.
Yeah.
I kind of, weirdly, I enjoy that, you know, seeing dudes suffer. it just makes good racing. It just makes, you know, and like we talk about the women's steeplechase, it made good racing because they're suffering all over the track. But, yeah, mate, I mean, pretty much, yeah, we're there. We'll do one more review pod with the men's marathon with special guest tomorrow. Better not announce his name just yet, so listen out for that. And fingers crossed, we've been pretty busy, so hopefully next week we get back to normal, doing a podcast a week.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this. We hope you've enjoyed all the pods this week. If you have, please leave us a rating or review on whatever podcast streaming service you're using, as it really helps us out. But thanks for listening, guys, and we'll catch you tomorrow. Actually, yeah, I was going to say next week. We'll catch you tomorrow and then next week as well.